Good morning.
Good morning.
What an incredible morning, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, my wife is an incredible woman, and we've been married 26 years. It'll be 27 in August, and I'm looking forward to that. And this morning when she walked in, it literally took my breath away because we didn't ride together, and she walked in. She just looked absolutely beautiful. She's wearing this white dress this morning, and it reminded me of the day we got married. And I looked at her, now, you know I'm trying to get something out of her, right? But she looked incredible. And she and I have a very special relationship. And my job allows me some pluses in marriage. One of those is actually the lessons that people, when they begin to get ignorant, teach me. Okay? That didn't sound very nice, did it, Ron? But I look around, and a lot of times I'll get a phone call and somebody will come to me, and especially people that I've known through the years, and they talk about how they're struggling in their marriage. And recently I had one of those phone calls, and a woman called me to let me know that she had found out that her husband, who I've known for many years, has cheated on her, and it hurts. To know that, to feel that from someone that I care about. From someone who I know knows the Lord. And I walk in the room to share that information with my wife. And instead of my heart being lower, I see her and the first thing she does is smile at me. And I can't help but smile back. And I walked over and wrapped my arms around her, and I pulled her close, and I said, "Thank you for who you are. I love you more today than I did 26 years ago." And I know that because of a couple of things in my life. One of those is I engage into her life in different ways. And you know, there's something that I absolutely hate to do, right? What is that? Boys around the house, what is it I hate to do?
Dishes.
Oh. See there? They know that. It's not one of those things that I want to engage in, right? I grew up with four sloppy brothers, right? And we would eat and the dishes just be everywhere, you know? And all I'm thinking about is them brothers who are dirty and nasty and leave clothes everywhere, sticking them forks in their mouth, you know, out back and forth and all that all over, right? You know, and all the players. And I had one of them brothers who didn't want to eat everything like normal people do. You know, he'd just take his fork and start swirling everything together. You know, and I would go over to help clear the plates from the table, which I had to do. But come washing time, I would trade out chores with my little brother. I'd do anything, Kevin. Anything. You want me to make your bed for a week? I'll do that. You know, I'd rather make his bed for a week and let him do all the, you know. And what I learned, though, is when it came my time and I really had to do the day. See, my mother probably should have lit me up for this. I'm telling you now. But I got to where, you know, we had one of those fun squirters on the sink. You know what I'm talking about? I think everybody's got those today. You grab that little deal up and you squeeze it and it shoots water out. You know? And I realized that by using that, one, it made doing the dishes easier. And two, I couldn't help but accidentally shoot my brother a couple of times. And it made it fun. And we wound up with water everywhere, right? About the third time after me playing this little game, my mother came in and started laughing and said, "You boys cannot wash dishes ever again." And inside I'm going, "Yeah!" And outside I'm like, "Oh, Mom, it's fun." Well, it's not fun for me, right? We engage people in different ways. And my wife, now after all these years, I'm still a little sloppy, but I will engage into my wife's life by doing dishes every once in a while.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. So you can say it a little bit louder, it'll help her.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. That's right. But we engage in different depths, in different ways, into each other's lives. We become a part of who each other are. Some of you know each other very well, some of you don't. Some of you I know very well, some of you I have shared meals with for that 26, 27 years. I was a single man when I first came to Sand Springs back in 1990. And I'll never forget Lee and Homer asking me, "Now, you sure you're going to get married, right?" They wanted to know that because they hired me in March of 1990. And especially Lee, he would ask me every once in a while, "You still? I don't know if you remember this, Lee." Every once in a while, he does, he remembers. Every once in a while, he said, "You still planning on getting married in August, right?" He wanted to know, my wife's on the way. Because she has always, always enhanced my life. And so we engage in different ways. And I'm going to do a little out of order here if I can get this moved forward. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, I'm not trying to say I'm more honorable than my brothers, okay? Just want you to know. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." And Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Now, there are a lot of things about these two verses. You know, there's a book in the world right now that's been written. It's page after page after page over just these two verses. A lot of conclusions that probably aren't real founded. But one thing we do know from these verses is that Jabez engaged God and people in his life on a regular basis. He was a part of what was going on, a part of things that occurred. Otherwise, we wouldn't know that he was honorable. By our actions, our honor and character is established. Now, young people, this is for you. You guys ready? Because I want you to hear this. By our actions, our honor and character is established. Because outside of those actions, no one knows who you are. And adults, it's the same thing for you. By our actions, it defines who we are, what we are going to be to the people who are around us. Jabez was an honorable man, more honorable than his family, because he was engaged in people's lives. It was apparent by his actions and what he was doing that he had a love for God. And we have to be careful when we define things and we define terms and we look at definitions and what scriptures say and what scriptures don't say. And right now there's a battle. I don't know if you know this. There's a spiritual battle going on in the world over the term personal relationship with Jesus. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? The problem with this term is definition. It's a definition. Because I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus like I have with my wife. It's on a certain level that doesn't parallel anything else in my life. But to say we can't have a certain kind of personal relationship with Jesus, it's impossible. But it is possible to have a type of personal relationship with Jesus. And the men in these articles, on both sides of the articles, are doing a lousy job at defining each. I read an article recently where a man started off good. He used one scripture, made 4 points from the one scripture, and the second, third, and fourth were not defined by what the scripture that he used at all. Do we have a personal relationship with Jesus? Do we engage Him like you and I do as friends? Absolutely not, because He is the Creator. He is a part of the Godhead. We stand in awe of His presence and power and ability to affect our lives. But do we have a personal relationship, or we have to make a decision? Is Jesus going to be my Savior? Yes. He says Himself, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If love is not a defining term of a personal relationship, I don't know what is. Does the Bible use the term personal relationship? Absolutely not. But there is this fear that we are going to lose our reverence and that we're going to start treating Jesus in a way that is not right. That we look at Him like we look at Him as a best friend. Can He be a part of our life like our best friend? Yes. But our relationship to the Savior, to Jesus, to Christ, is separate from any other relationship in your world. His power and ability to change who you are and change the lives of those around you. And so I say that to you to be careful about how you define things. Because as we look at things, we can't always tell. And if I tell Rick in the foyer out there, Rick, I love you, brother. People go, that's weird. Why did he use those terms? You don't know why I use those terms. If I use those with Rick or Brian or whoever, there may have been something that occurred in my life that week that is difficult, or their life that week that is difficult. So we need to think clearly about how we're engaging people. What does it mean? Define that term clearly. And what is my life to you as a church? What is my obligation to you as a congregation? Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do. Work heartily. As for the Lord, and not for men. For the Lord, not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. And here's that word, right? That we tend to avoid, service, right? And in our lives, and in our theme this year, right? Living transformed. And this quarter is focused on as a living sacrifice. But how do we sacrifice? And we consider that word as a job, as a chore. Something that is difficult to reach into. Something that is difficult to understand. And it's something I don't want to do. I don't want to serve you. See, when I look at dishes in my kitchen, I see that as a service. Man, not one amen. I can't believe that. The husbands in this room must be better than this one, right? I see it as a service. But through these years, until recently, I finally came to the conclusion that it's not a service for my wife. I'm engaging into our relationship. I've heard several times through the years my wife would say, you know what that article said? It said that a man who does housework is sexier than any other man on the earth. Now I'd like to know who wrote that article. But it's okay. If that's where she is, I need to engage her at that point. But I need to engage the church as a whole the same way. If we're in the middle of a fellowship meal and the trash can over there is full and you see it's full, is it difficult to grab it and carry it out? Or pick up something when someone drops it on the floor? Or write a card to them? You know, Johnny, Rick's mother had surgery this last week, and she's dealing with some cancer issues, and she's doing well. They believe they got it all. And she has been talking to Rick about how many cards this congregation has sent to her. She's just been covered up. She said, I just don't know how to react. I don't know what to do. That's a service that's easy for us. It's a way to engage in her life to make a difference, because there is absolutely no doubt that her church family loves her. Isn't that right, Pat? Those things that we can be engaged in, that we can make a difference in each other's lives and the little ones. And I'm not talking about letting the visitor have the last brownie on the dessert table. That's not a service. That's not being engaged in the lives who are around us. We engage in our jobs with effort and strength. We engage in our hobbies with enthusiasm and focus and dollars. We engage with our families with love and devotion. But how do we engage with God? When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, how incredible that day will be, right? Amen. How incredible. I'd like to hear one more amen besides Ron. How incredible that day will be. Amen. Man, our young people need that. Let our youth know that when the truth is spoken from this pulpit, that it is affirmed. And if it's not the truth, interrupt. And say, I don't know about that, brother. We'll talk about it later. And let him go on. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. And then the King will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. I had cancer, and you prayed for me and sent me cards. I had a broken leg, and you mowed my yard. I had eye surgery, and you drove me to the hospital. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King, our Savior, will answer. I assure you, whatever you have done for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So how do we define a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? We define that personal relationship by the relationships that we have with our brethren in this church. For the lost who are outside in the world. Because whatever you did for the least of one of these, you, Keith Thompson, you did it for me. And so I look around at my life and I have to evaluate who I am, what I've done, and where I'm headed in this life. As someone who engages in a living sacrifice with those who are with me. Because if I do not engage, you can come sit in this pew all you want. You can be here every time the doors are open, but it does not define your relationship. If I go home every week and I crawl in bed with my wife and roll away from her and go to sleep, and we don't talk really, other than, hello, how are you doing? I'm fine, thank you. Are you fine? Yes, I'm fine. Have you had a good day? Yes, I've had a good day. Thank you, good night. How long do you think that marriage would last? Not very long. That's right, young man. No, it wouldn't work that way, would it? My wife wants me to hold her hand and give her a little hug, right? Just like all of us. See, he got the point, did you? How old are you? 7 years old. From the mouths of little children. And sometimes we walk around and we talk about, oh, I just don't understand. I'm just, you know, it's just difficult. What's difficult about it? Why are we getting in the way of ourselves? Engage yourself into life. Engage yourself into the people who are around you. And let God bring blessings to you that are beyond counting. Rick not long ago asked me to come out and lead a prayer for his baseball team, for the boys' baseball team. And I went out and I led a prayer. You know, and I got out there and there were a couple other things going on. And on the way, I have to admit to you, I thought, well, you know, this has really been a... Man, another night would have been better than tonight. And I got there and the boys surrounded me, you know, and they're all, you know, about this high or maybe a little higher, a few of them. And I led them in prayer. And when I got through, every boy on that team, what'd they do, Rick? Stuck their hand in the air and started stepping towards me. And it washed over me that little bit of self-sacrifice, that moment of serving, brought me more joy than I could understand. It was a moment that I wouldn't give anything in the world for it. I will remember the rest of my life an entire baseball team with their hand waiting on mine. Because I took the opportunity to engage. To engage in the lives of those I had the opportunity to influence in a positive way. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. The greatest among you will be your servants. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He did not come to be served. He did not come to be served. But to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace into its various forms. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. I'm going to stop here and share with you one other quick story. Because I want it to have application. Not too long ago, a brother of mine borrowed my air compressor. He had it so long, he and I both forgot he had it. I thought it got stolen out of my garage. When he brought it back to me, you know what I thought? That's pretty funny. And my next thought was, so what? Because you know what? I am engaged in his life as a brother to brother. We have shared things about life and children and wives and being a part of this congregation. And it doesn't matter. An air compressor is worthless to the relationship that I have with him. It doesn't matter. It's unimportant. And I have to ask you, is your lawnmower or your air compressor more important than being engaged in the lives of those who are around you? I have shown you in every way, Acts 20, 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so we engage those around us because we engage in God. We engage in who he is in the lives of the people that surround us, of fellow Christians, of those who are lost, who is seeking for an opportunity to allow you to teach the message of the gospel. Let me tell you what is wrong when you get out and you teach someone, oh, hello, my name is Keith Thompson and I need to teach you. You got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Are you ready to get into the water? And if you do that, you failed. You have absolutely failed, I'm telling you right now. Because if you haven't found the opportunity to look into them and engage and say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. That's easier than trying to remember every verse. It's easier than trying to sit down. Just let them know, you know what? And if you can't recall, guess what? We got a few men in this church who can find those verses. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. I have a 21-year-old and an 18-year-old, which is hard to believe. I'm a young man. Somebody amen that? Okay, thank you. Some of y'all laughing. Shut up. I'm just kidding. My boys at 18 and 21, my young men, you are not boys any longer. My young men will walk into the bedroom and say, Dad, will you pray with me about this or that? My wife will bring the boys into the kitchen for a meal, and we don't always just pray over a meal. Often, we stand and put our arms around each other as a family, and we bring it in. Brethren, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. You may have more money than me. You may not buy a nice vest at Goodwill like I do. Isn't that cool? But there's not a man on this earth that's richer than I am. Not a man on this earth who is richer than I am. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. And if we can help you today put on Christ in baptism, to be immersed with him into the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, or 1 Peter 3:21. To have that opportunity to be saved and make an appeal to God with a good conscience. This is an opportunity to begin to engage with the Creator and the Savior of the world, to receive the gift of his Holy Spirit, to begin a life that says, at some point, as you grow, you will sit down at a table and say, let me engage in your life, friend. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Or maybe you've disengaged. Maybe you are struggling with family, with life. Maybe you're struggling with a temptation that is so difficult to say no to that you have failed over and over and over again. Brethren, today is a day to engage your family to help you make a difference. Why don't you come as we stand and sing.
Oh, to Jesus I